It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Radio, Elliot Shore Park, James Seltzer with you till 3. As Elliot, we have waited and waited, and honestly, there has not been quite the hype that there normally is, but somehow, some way, we are 5 days from the first round of the draft. When we are doing our show 1 week from today, we're going to come on the air at this time. We're going to be like, well, we know what the first three picks are, the Eagles, maybe other stuff, maybe trades, but we will like know new Eagles players. It's here. It's draft time, buddy.
Yeah, and I think one of the most exciting things about this draft is that in other years, Will, we'd be doing this show, and it's okay. They're going to take this guy or this guy. Or of these three guys, who do you really want? I can't wait to talk to everybody today because there's maybe 12 to 15 guys that they could take in the first round. That's not even a stretch. And then on top of that, by the time we're on air next Saturday, who knows? I mean, the second round pick is also as unpredictable. So certainly a draft where there's a lot up in the air this far out.
215-592-9494. Get on the line now. We want to talk to as many real ones as we can. It's Get on the Record Day. Quickly, before we dive in, let's take a moment.
Yes.
It is not your average, hey, we're just hopping on the air at 1 o'clock on a Saturday day for us. As unexpected, you know, none of us knew. An hour ago, Glenn Mack now announced his retirement, 31 yeah. years at WIP. Look, I know for me, there aren't that many people that I could say that I've listened to their entire careers. Mm-hmm. Like, I was listening to Glenn 31 years ago. I was listening to Mack and Mack. Like, I've heard Glenn on this station essentially my entire life almost. You know, since I was 11 years old, I've been yeah. listening to Glenn Mack now on WIP. Obviously, to come here and get the opportunity to work with him. I got to produce him and Ray a few times when I first started here. And obviously, we've worked with Glenn a ton. He's filled in on the midday show when I was doing it, all that type of stuff. And I mean, one of the true honors in my career has been the opportunity to actually work with Glenn. And, you know, just to be here on the air the day after, you know, we announced retirement, it's almost surreal. I mean, what a freaking run, man.
Yeah, I mean, me and you obviously drive into the show every Saturday. We've been doing this show for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years yeah. now. And of all the things we talk about on the way in, I think one of the things that comes up the most is how lucky we are to go and do a show.
Like all the time.
After Glenn and Ray. Yeah. And then obviously Howard before that. So, you know, I grew up listening to WIP. I can still picture the radio I used to listen out of in the corner of my bed. And there's like four or five people that came out of that radio the most. And Glenn is absolutely one of them. So, I'm very lucky to have said that I got to work with Glenn to do pregame shows with them. And like I said, you know, we always feel honored to be on after them. But to be sitting in the studio today where Glenn announced his retirement with Ray Dittinger and Mike, I mean, it's surreal. So Glenn, he's a great guy, always been very kind to me. And I, you know, as a former actor myself, I should say.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
I'm happy to see him follow his dream. And there's something really cool about that, too. Like, we've talked on the pod how people only do one job their whole life. I really admire people that get to do different things. And so it's cool that he's going to go chase something else after
he retires. Especially finding out he liked it so much, getting to do it, always had wanted to do it, all that. No, it's super, super cool. And look, you know, there aren't that many people you could say have a real case to be on the Mount Rushmore of Philadelphia radio.
Yeah.
I mean, Glenn Macnow is one of those few people.
And you're on your way.
No, stop. Yeah. No, it's been a real honor. You know, it's an honor to be on WIP, period, as someone who we grew up listening our whole lives. It means so much to us. It's an honor. But to actually be able to follow Glenn and Ray and then Glenn and Mike and, you know, for so long and to be here today on after such a special announcement. Yeah, it's honored. I feel honored. Yeah. Like, that's the word that comes to mind. So obviously, if you want to have any, give your Glenn thoughts. And look, luckily, we got a few more months of Glenn.
Yes.
He's not like up and up. He's like, all right, I'll see you guys later. I'm never talking to this microphone again. So
Thursday for the draft.
Thing, got some time to say goodbye. But obviously, what a run. What a run. What a career. Amazing stuff, Glenn. Honored.
I can only hope to be doing the show with you as long as him and
Dude,
Ray have.
Can you imagine? So, yeah.
I'd be very lucky.
Yeah, I'm definitely not counting on it, but I'm hoping for it. All right, let's dive in again, because it is a big day in the sense that we have talked so much about this draft for the last month or so. We've talked about, to Elliot's point, it's a little hard to grab onto because at 22, you just don't know who's going to be there, you know?
Yeah.
So, but we've gone through the old linemen. We've talked offense, defense, all that stuff. It is a get on the record day. Look, not everyone's going to have their name of a player, but if you do, give us the name of the player you want at 22. If it's not a name of a player, tell us a position. Tell us offense, defense, like whatever you're feeling right now as the draft, again, is 5 days away, whatever you're feeling. 215-592-9494. We're going to start by getting our guy, our draft expert on this show. Mm. Not Justin Tennessee, he's our other expert.
He's our SEC expert.
That's right.
Yeah.
Our guy Elliot Shore Parks on the record. He has made multiple big boards, but we're gonna focus on his.
This is the biggest of all the boards.
The first round big board for the Philadelphia Eagles. Elliot Shore Parks has put together his list of players that he would most like to see the Eagles end up, assuming they're at 22 or in that range.
Yep.
Elliot Shore Parks, the floor is yours. It's get on the record day. Get on the line now, 215-592-9494. Coming to the phones in a few. Elliot, who is on your big board?
Well, on a day where we honor Glenn Macnow, it's only right that I agree with actually what Ray Dittinger said earlier. My number one guy on my big board, if I could pick any player for the Eagles to end the first round with, they probably have to trade up for him, but it's Talisi Fuaga out of Oregon State. When I look at this, the Eagles' needs on the whole roster, I think offensive guard, and we've been over this, I think it's their biggest need. I think going into the draft, they want to draft an offensive lineman. In an ideal world, that offensive lineman would play guard for a few years and have the ability, if they want, to slide out to tackle. Talisi Fuaga has the ability to do that. And if they draft him, I will make sure I learn and way better at pronouncing his name, just have it roll off the tongue. I'm trying my best. But as a player, I think he checks everything they need. He'll step in right away and be an outstanding guard. He has the size and foot quickness to play tackle if needed. He's already really good with his hands when you read the scouting report. And in my years covering the draft, one thing I think is critically important for offensive linemen is they come to the NFL. If they're already good at using their hands, they're at such an advantage compared to other raw prospects. So I think he really checks the need. And an underrated part of the need on offensive line as well is the personality they're losing with Kelsey retiring already, Lane, you know, potentially a year or two out of retiring. They need guys on the line that are going to have that personality you want, and he has that. Every scouting report you read talks about how he's, you know, he's a physical blocker.
He's nasty.
Exactly. Yeah. He has that personality.
Plays with an edge and all
that. So it's ironic that a year ago we were here and I was saying, you don't take a guard in the first round. We were doing the Bijan versus Skoronski thing. But times change, and times change in a year. Yeah. Things really change. But I think he fits their need. He's a special player. I think you probably have to trade up to 15 to get him. But for me, that would be number one.
All right, who's number two?
So number two, similar argument, different player, Troy Fontua out of Washington. again, a lot of the same things. The only reason he's number two, not number one, is he's probably more of a pure guard than a tackle. I think Fuaga is a better tackle prospect than Troy is, but he has the ability to do the same thing. So number one and number two on my board are the offensive guard slash tackle options out of Oregon State, Washington.
Yeah, and we've talked about, look, we'll get to what I want, but I've made it very clear over the last month on this show that I want defense. And again, you know, best player, that whole thing, but ideally they're going to come away with defense in the first round. But I won't freak out if they go O-line.
It's big of you.
But I thank you.
Yeah.
I will freak out if they take someone who can't play guard.
Yeah, like, I agree with you 100%.
If you're going to go offensive line, I'm fine thinking down the road for Lane and all that, but the guy has to be able to play guard right now. I can't wait 2-3 years for Lane and then not even get value out of the draft pick.
Similar thing to what you're saying. Maybe I'm just phrasing it differently, but I don't think they can take someone that can only play guard or someone that can only play tackle.
I would agree with
that. It has to be both.
Yeah, if they had to, I would actually rather they take someone who only plays guard
than
only plays tackle.
I just don't think the value is there at tackle. And at Lane, you know, if they know he's absolutely retiring in a year, then maybe, but I would not waste the resource on that.
All right, number three.
So number three for me is a name that's not been discussed a lot, but I've been trying to speak it into existence. Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle out of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive tackle, massive underrated need on this team. Obviously, Fletcher Cox retiring. He was arguably their best defensive lineman last year, certainly in the running with Reddick and Jalen Carter. They need someone next to Jalen Carter that can get after the quarterback. They can't go into next year with Jordan Davis starting next to Jalen Carter and expect Jalen Carter to be an effective pass rusher because he is going to get doubled all the time. Not to mention, with Fangio here, if you're running more of a traditional 3-4, the defensive tackle spot, those three, you need different things out of them, but it also becomes more of an important need. So Byron Murphy, to me, comes to the NFL. Everything you read about him, already an extremely deep set of pass rush moves, very strong. He can get after the quarterback. He had something like 30 hurries last year. I think he had over 6 sacks. He comes to the NFL as a proven pass rusher, not as good as Jalen Carter, but as a pass rusher, comparable, in my opinion, in what he did from that spot. So Byron Murphy, to me, if you get him, you put him next to Jalen Carter, it makes the edge's life easier. It makes Jalen Carter's life easier. And I think he checks a perfect need of need plus special prospect. He's the best in the draft at that position. So he'd be number three for me.
So I just want everyone to know there are no notes that Elliot is looking at as he does this. He is just
locked in, dude.
You are just rattling this. I'm very impressed.
Thank you.
I am. All right. Let's round out your top five. Let's do two more.
Yeah.
Who is your number four?
So number four for me is J.C. Latham. When I look at, again, what they need,
Who is Richie's number one.
He's number one. And
Richie loves J.C. Latham.
I can't blame Richie for that. I think Latham is a special prospect. He's probably a better, in terms of size and athleticism, I think you could argue he's a better athlete than the two guards that were one and two on my list. He's probably, in my opinion, though, more of a pure tackle prospect than he is a guard prospect. I think the difference for me is his best position is ultimately going to be tackle. I think the first two players, you could argue, they step into the league and could be a top 10 guard like relatively quickly. J.C. Latham has played the position. He played right guard, I believe, 2 years ago, and then last year moved to tackle. A lot of the same arguments again. He could play two positions. I think he's probably more of a natural successor for Lane. He's been working out with Lane this offseason, so you know they'll have good intel on him.
Sure.
Yeah, but he would be number four for me.
All right, and who rounds out the top five?
My guy. If I had to be completely honest, and I was playing GM, this would be who I would take, but I understand it's a purely emotional decision. You know I love receivers.
I knew it was going to be a receiver, yeah.
Brian Thomas Jr.
So I love him.
He is my draft crush.
I don't want a receiver in the first round, but like if it's that guy, I'm not going to be upset because I think that Brian Thomas is a stud.
So here's how much I like him. The only receiver in the draft I would take over him is Marvin Harrison Jr.
Wow.
Brian Thomas Jr.
Now, real quick, just for people who might not remember, Elliot's history of hitting on wide receivers has been stellar. Years ago,
it's the one thing I'm good at.
3 years ago, 2 years ago, whatever, he's the lone voice in the wilderness saying George Pickens is the best receiver in this draft. Like you've had a good history of receivers, so go ahead and explain.
So here's my Brian Thomas Jr. thing, and I'll compare him to Neighbors. I think Neighbors is also a very special prospect. But I see a lot of the same things in Brian Thomas Jr. that people talk about in these top three receivers. Super quick, great hands, explosive after the catch. To me, the difference is Brian Thomas Jr. is 6'3". That's 3 full inches on Neighbors. And look, I'm not going to sit here and say size is like the most important thing in the world. But if I'm looking at two guys that are similar, I'll take the guy that's taller. Brian Thomas Jr., long arms, huge catch radius. I think if you put Brian Thomas Jr. on this team, There is an argument that within 2 or 3 weeks of the NFL, he's the best number three receiver in the NFL.
Wow.
And I really think that he could be good enough where a year from now, we're doing this radio show and we're at least talking about, you know, what do you do with A.J. Brown? So I'm not looking to replace A.J., but I do think as a number three receiver, he can be special. He can fill a need. He can stretch the field. And he just, I mean, the guy has my heart. I don't know what to say. I love watching his YouTube. He's special. I think he's going to be awesome. If he's there at 22, I would run and draft him, especially if those guards are off the board.
215-592-9494 to get him. We're going to come to the phones in a minute. I'll tell you what I want, and I've said it. Look, Brian Thomas, I'm not going to be upset if he's the guy.
He's a guy.
These linemen you mentioned, like, I would be fine.
It's what you always say. Sports are meant to be fun. He would be a fun pick.
He would be a fun pick. Yeah. I need defense. Ultimately, my perfect world, and look, honestly, my perfect world is trade 22 and 53 for Patrick Surtain. Like, I think that ultimately the best move the Eagles can make with their first round pick is to trade it for someone like Surtain. Now, I don't know if that's even a possibility. We've floated that out. We've looked at the situation.
Well, he's been rumored for over a year. They tried to get him at the deadline.
You know, kind of resetting in Denver and all that type of stuff. But look, let's say a trade's not on the table for an actual set player, but that would be my top choice. But if I'm picking guys in that spot, I've come to the two guys I want, and it's I'm picking two because they played for the same team and they played the same position. I want either Terrion Arnold or Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Okay,
you've sold me on Kool-Aid, man.
I'm in on Kool-Aid.
A freshman starting at Alabama. I like the swag. I'm not too concerned about the Jones fracture. I had a Jones fracture. I got it playing football in high school.
Wow.
I got stepped on by an offensive lineman and a Jones fracture. Actually, I waited a week to go to the doctor. I was hobbling around campus. I was using a cane on campus. And I went and the doctor said that if I had waited a few more days, I would have had screws put in my foot. So good thing I finally went when I did. Yes.
You and Kool-Aid can be poster childs for the Jones fracture.
So, but if I'm okay, I think Kool-Aid will be okay.
Yeah.
I need a defensive guy there. I like those two Alabama guys. Obviously, big school, big pedigree. And apparently, from what we're hearing, Terrion Arnold was quote-unquote spectacular in his round 30 visit with the Eagles. Or 30 team
top 30 visit.
Thank you. Top 30 visit with the Eagles. So I need defense one way or another. Cornerback is such an important position for me right now with the way this team is situated, especially with the questions about Isaiah Rodgers all of a sudden. We don't even know if this guy's going to play this year all of a sudden. So, all right, a lot to get into. 215-592-9494. This is the last time Go Birds Radio will be on the air before the Eagles make their first and 2 second round selections. And who knows, I mean, trades, whatever, but the first and second and third round will have happened the next time we're on the radio. So it is your last chance to get on the record now. Who do you want? A specific player, a position, a trade? What do you want the Eagles to do Thursday night, Friday night, moving forward in the draft? 215-592-9494. Let's start out where we do every single Saturday this time and go to Abington and talk to our buddy Tom.
Yo, James Seltzer, my brother from another mother. Happy 420.
How you doing, pal? Well done there. It was good work.
Elliot Shore Parks.
It's always just so good to hear your voice, Tom. It's awesome to hear from you.
Before I get to you, sir, I would like to give a shout-out to the Prophet. I would say that is a career well done and a retirement well deserved.
Yes,
I listened to Glenn for literally decades, and I think he's one of the most underrated people there at the Whip. So congrats there, Glenn.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably on the Mount Rushmore, so I don't know if underrated is right. But
that's
right,
how underrated he is. Yeah, he's exactly on the Mount Rushmore. Yeah, he's still underrated.
Yeah,
how about that?
There you go. And with the Diddy going and him going, we can all just pray and hope that Howard makes that decision sooner than later.
Another Mount Rushmore right there. Yeah.
Elliot, man, you know, you came up with the dumb take, and I said it was the dumbest take I'd ever heard, and you went and outdid yourself this week. So,
yeah, thank you.
Before I get into the draft, which I will, I just got to ask you when you graduated from the Pete Rose School of Gambling.
Oh, man.
You know, it's funny, Tom. Before the show, we were joking. Who's going to bring up 420 and who's going to bring up the gambling take?
And it was super
right. This is why you're the leadoff hitter. Yeah, this is why you're the leadoff hitter.
Well done.
I cover it, man.
I'm going to go ahead and guess you don't agree with me that athletes should be allowed to gamble.
It's so crazy.
Themselves is the key. So Elliot and I have argued about this many times off the air. I did not know.
For over a year, too.
I did not know he had brought it to the air
let everyone know.
Shout out Jack Fitz.
I think it's an absolutely insane thing to say.
I'm with the dumbest thing you've ever heard, right?
It's asinine.
All right, Tom, here's what I'll say. if we're lucky enough to do this show as long as Glenn and Ray are, and you are a leadoff hitter for years, I can't wait for 10 years from now when you remember, when you say, man, Elliot, you were early on this.
Yeah, okay, so just, and then you know what? For every year leading up to that, I'll remember, or I'll remind you how much of a jackass you are for even proposing it.
I know you will, buddy. I know you
okay, will. Cool. All right, so to the draft. First off, I want Howie to trade up. I think he's going to. I'm still on Brock Bowers, guys. That's my number one target.
Wow.
I know.
Talk about bad takes.
I am not
really
at all.
keeping the bad take train going.
Listen, man, I just, you put him in this offense, and I know they need to address guard, but Howie can do that in other ways. But if you address that position and put Brock Bowers in this offense, I don't see any defense really being able to stop him if Jalen, you know, performs to what we think he should.
Tom, did you see the stat that Sheil Kapadia put out when talking about Brock Bowers?
Yes.
You saw that. So for those who didn't see it, in the last 10 years, there have been 9 tight ends taken in the first round. Among those tight ends, there have been 0 Pro Bowl seasons, 0 All-Pro seasons, obviously, and 1 1,000-yard season total among all of them. Like, in their careers to this point, not the rookie year, careers.
What I say to that?
That's what I'm asking you. What do you say to that?
I say to that the Jets never beat the Eagles until last year when they did.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I would say?
Like, it's got to happen.
But it does say something about what the way the NFL values and ranks tight ends. You know what I mean? Like, it tells you something.
It does. And I'll tell you what, James, like, the Eagles never go the route I want, and I know this will hit close to home with you. Like, I wanted Kyle Hamilton, not Jordan Davis.
Me too.
And so
you know
you.
I did. Desperately.
I know. We were on that train, and they never go the route that I'm taking, so why not stick
so
to my
I
gun?
I like this.
Tom,
that's good, Tom.
It sounds like you're saying, don't bet on Brock Bowers being
Eagles. Well, listen, I have a 2 and 3 I'll lay on you on the way out here, okay? If they can't get him, I would go Cooper DeJean. I'm a big fan of his. I know these are popular picks. Yeah. And then third, I would go Kool-Aid just for the name and the content. Have a great weekend, fellas.
Yeah, see you, Tommy. And, dude, like, the line that Elliot keeps using with Kool-Aid, the fact that he was a redshirt freshman who started at Alabama.
Pure freshman.
That's what I mean. A pure freshman who started at Alabama. I mean, that's like.
Tells you everything you need to know.
It does. In a lot of ways, it does. Yeah. Like, that is hard to deny.
My actual comparison for me, and people aren't going to like this, but just in terms of the mentality, he just reminds me of Jalen Mills. Jalen Mills, while, again, I don't think is physically gifted
Kool-Aid's
as
way
Kool-Aid,
more talented,
but the same type of thing. Where
that's great. If Jalen Mills were more talented, we would have loved
exactly.
that vibe.
But Jalen was exactly what you wanted in a personality for a cornerback.
Absolutely.
I think Kool-Aid has that same thing.
Love that. All right, 215-592-9494. It's a Get on the Record day. We want to talk to as many of the Go Birds faithful as we can. We'll get your on the record. What do you want? A specific player, a position? 215-592-9494. With you till 3. It's Go Birds Radio. We're coming right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Go Birds Radio. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer with you. Till 3, Robbie E. coming up after that, talking about legends.
Just talk about rhyming.
Sandwich by look at that.
Look
See?
At that. You yeah. didn't even know it.
Not even on purpose, man. It's just, I'm a born lyricist.
You are. I've always said that about you. Yeah. In honor of Taylor Swift yesterday.
Yeah. I heard.
Big day.
Heard.
Big day.
Some new album thing or something.
Yes, you could say so. Yeah. The whole world.
Everyone's talking about
most
it.
Most streams ever in one day.
Oh, no big deal.
No big deal, exactly. I have a quick Patrick Surtain thought. Off
okay,
of what you said.
Good. Yeah. Back to the phones in 1 second. Go ahead.
So if they traded number 22 for Patrick Surtain, I wouldn't hate it, and I would understand it.
Well, it'd probably be 22 plus.
Yeah, I mean. The main asset.
Right.
Now, I will say I would not give up 22 and a second round.
I would.
I would not. But, again, he's a great player that's a premium position at a young age. Like, I can't hate on the logic. Mm-hmm. I've just seen this team, in my opinion, do such a good job piecing the cornerback position together without using premium assets that while I get that if he's a great player, you just get great players on the roster and it makes sense. But Slay, they traded a third for. Bradberry, bit of a unique situation, but they signed him, and he had an all-pro year. We brought up Jalen Mills. He was a decent corner in the seventh round. Darby was okay, and they got him in the fourth. So, again, these aren't premium players besides Slay, and I would understand it, but I would rather draft somebody at 22 if it's take Surtain plus 53 or just take two players.
I get it, but cornerback has become more and more valuable over the last few years, just like wide receiver, as we talked about it, how with contracts and stuff like that has gone up and up and up. Look, we saw a cornerback go at fifth in the draft last year with Witherspoon. We saw another one go like seventh or eighth or whatever.
And Surtain's young.
And
he's Surtain's still 24,
super
I think.
Super young.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it's a position where, like, we talked all offseason about how the Eagles kind of might have to change how they kind of do things with safety or a linebacker or a running back.
Yeah.
We saw because the NFL changes and things adjust. I do think corner is more valuable than it's been when they've been kind of mixing.
I think too, and I know you like him as well, but I think I'm higher on Kelee Ringo than other people.
I like Kelee Ringo.
So I don't have a burning desire to find a young stud there because I think they have a very
you
good
just aren't
young
as concerned about Slay like falling off a cliff
exactly.
as I am.
That's
I think
probably
fall
also
off a
it as well.
Tomorrow, so.
Yeah.
All right. 215-592-9494. Let's get back to the phones. Let's get on the record. Normally we start hour two with him, but our guy's got his son's game to get to, so we're going to squeeze our buddy Tom in Vancouver in way early. What up, Tommy? How you doing, pal?
Hello, gentlemen.
What up, Tom? How you doing?
So this is, for me, this is the anti-Bill of Spike episode.
Yes.
So,
well, you're breaking the rule.
Saw this. The no banter.
Spike has some pretty strict rules.
Strict rules. Yeah, you can banter with us, Tom. We're good with it.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible what Spike's trying to do there, and I hope the show succeeds incredibly well, but in that particular aspect, I hope it fails.
Ooh, Tom, not a fan. I like that.
Well, I'll say this.
It's a take. It's a strong take.
I think that show is going to be unbelievable.
I think it's great.
So yeah. It's, we'll see if Spike can get away with this power trip he's on, but it'll be a great show.
That's right. Now, Elliot, the funny thing I find with your takes is that I can't disagree with any of your football takes, your draft takes. I really like them.
Thank you.
And you're dead on with them. Mm. And yet, you come out with these non-football takes that are just so nonsensical. I just don't.
Well, they're so nonsensical to you. I mean, they make sense to me.
Okay, great. Well, yeah, that's good.
Let's just say that the reason I had to call in today was because I've been on the Bet Parks app and I wagered on myself calling in.
So, I'm happy you have the freedom to do that, Tom. I think you should very much have the ability to bet on yourself, and I'd bet on you too, Tom.
I would.
So I'd parlay your success.
So what do you got on the birds, Tommy?
So
I'm like Spike. Get to the point, Tom. All right.
No, James. I think actually you're the master of this, and I'm not kidding. You and Jack are really good at bringing callers onto the point after you've had a little bit of banter.
Thanks, buddy.
So in terms of this, the big question that I have, it's sort of a more strategic question, and I'd be interested in your thoughts on it. I've noticed that with the cornerbacks, they're really hard to pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. So that's where I like James's take on doing a trade for Surtain. In this particular draft, I've heard that it's not a terribly deep draft. So
yep.
Do you agree with that? And if you agree with that, how do you think that affects Howie's approach? Because we know Howie's actually tends to be better in the mid and late rounds.
Yeah, so I would agree that it's a deep draft in the way that I think picks 1 through 40 are kind of, outside of the top 5 or 6, are kind of similar. I think the player you're getting at 11 could not be that different than the guy you get at 22 or 30. I think it's deep in that way. But where I agree with you is I think outside of the second round, it really falls off quickly. Once you get to the middle of the third, the fourth, the fifth, there's always going to be guys, but there's not those prospects that have you super excited. So I do agree that in terms of if you're going to trade up, I would maybe even move up, higher into the second round or something like that, because I think there's a lot of parity in those first two rounds.
So my last thought reaction to what you just said is that reinforces the thinking when we were talking about trading for a cornerback is if you're going to give up a first round pick, don't give up the second. Give up the later rounds, even if you've got to give up a couple.
Yeah,
of rubbers.
If you can. And Tommy, great call. Have fun at your kid's game. Look, I think that there in that case, and also I just saw, and look, I know everyone says different things at this time, but Brett Veach of the Chiefs came out and said they have 16 players that they have first round grades on this year, which is interesting.
Not a lot.
Not that's the point. What they're saying is that in their mind, there's like a real 16. I think it was 16 to 18 or something. It said like that. So like there's
and if
those
you take the quarterbacks off of there, which for most teams don't matter.
Yeah.
You're talking about 10.
Exactly.
11. Yeah.
And look, especially cornerback too. I think when you look at like the elite guys at corner, they usually do go top 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Sauce Gardeners, the Surtains, the Horns, like these guys who end up being really, really good. They usually end up being really high picks too.
Yeah.
So you are kind of in a no man's land there. 215-592-9494. Let's go. Look at our guy. Let's go to Texas and talk to our buddy CJ. Not we haven't talked enough to CJ. How you been, pal?
Oh, look at this.
CJ.
You go to him early.
All right. I'm going to put him
on hold.
Put him on hold.
Don't drop him.
It's a massive disappointment. You know who I know is going to be there? Our guy, Justin.
Always.
In Richmond. I bet my life that he's ready to roll.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Justin.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
So he had
how
a chance
doing?
To mess with me, and he didn't. That's why I love you, Justin.
Yeah.
Thank you. How
it
you
doing?
Bold
statement. I would never mess with you like that, Seltzer. Not on air anyway, man.
What you got today?
Well, I don't know how this is possible, but I agree with both of you guys.
Right. If anyone could do it, it's you.
Yeah.
So I think I would definitely trade one and another asset for Surtain. I think, especially with Tom's point, it is really hard to hit on corners. So when you've got somebody at that age that you know is a stud, I would be a little hesitant to give up a 2 this year. It wouldn't be my favorite, but I would still do it.
Because you have to pay him, so I get that obviously a 1 plus paying him is already a lot, but I'm with you, Justin. At a certain point, if we're talking about a guy who at that age, and yes, you have to pay him, but we know how good how he is at paying people and making it work. Like a kid at this age was already in a top 3 cornerback in the sport?
Oh, he's arguably one.
Well, I mean Sauce
yeah,
is probably
Sauce
top
is probably,
2, whatever.
Yeah.
The point is, like, it's just such a no-doubter.
Well, and I also think sometimes with this, the best way to think about it is, if Surtain was in the draft, at his age and his salary, he would be selected before number 22. So when you're talking about trading the 22nd pick, you have to consider age. And if the guy's like 26, 27, I don't think it's the end of the world. But at his age, he's basically a draft pick. Like, there are a lot of players in this draft that are 23, 24.
Close to his age, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree with all of that. But if we do stay in the draft and we do take someone this year, Elliot, you are on point as your Texas guy, and we're going to start having a conversation about SEC guy between the Justins.
Yeah.
But Byron Murphy's a stud.
Yep.
There's been some stuff I've seen recently that come out of he's a product of the people around him and whatever, and Tavondre Sweat is literally massive, but he was not a pass rusher. He was a run stopper. Mm-hmm. So Murphy was still the leading D tackle on that line in terms of getting pressure and getting sacked.
And offensive lines were keying in on him because, to your point, yeah, Sweat is not a pass rusher.
Correct. Yeah, I think Byron Murphy's a stud. I think if you pair him with Jalen Carter, I think they're both very similar. Obviously, I think
that's
I
that
think
was going to be my
better.
My question, Justin, is that do you worry at all putting those two together that you're not? And I know you have Jordan Davis to mix in for that purpose, but the too much focusing on the pass and not enough of a run stopper with both those guys in the middle.
No, I don't really worry about that. I think that both of those guys, while they rush the passer really
they're
well,
super athletic and can recover and whatnot too.
Yeah, they're both attuned to the fact that the run game is important.
Let's keep it real. Like, who cares? Like, if they're if they're getting after the quarterback, I will secede. If a team's going to run it all day, I'll take my chances as opposed to passing.
Yeah, so I'm all in on Byron Murphy. You only had to convince me that it was an option. But obviously, he's a Texas guy. Would love to see him here. So,
yeah.
Talk to you boys later. Good to talk to you. Love you guys.
Justin, always a pleasure. Yeah, look. All right. So, what do you say to the people who say they took Jordan Davis 2 years ago in the draft and they took Jalen Carter last year in the draft? That is two young defensive tackles. They took Milton Williams is still here. There are guys at that position, and then another first round.
Yeah, I guess I'll just circle back. Who cares? I mean, if you think about it, would you say the Eagles have, if not the best duo receivers in the NFL, probably minimum top three or four?
Yeah, absolutely.
And how'd they get there? They used a first pick on Devontae. They used a first pick on A.J. Brown.
Essentially by trading.
They used a first-round pick on Rager. They didn't hit on Rager. But when it's an important position that you want to be really strong at, you can't be afraid to continue to use assets, especially at a position where you're shuffling guys in and out. There'll be plenty of snaps for these guys, or Jordan Davis if he's able to get on the field. So I'd have no problem with it.
Let's go back to our guy CJ in Texas. You there, Siege?
Yeah, let's go.
What up, CJ?
So, sorry about that. I was on mute.
Good.
I normally am a second-hour caller because I usually take my lunch break around that time. But today I had to get in because of Elliot's takes from yesterday.
Oh, no.
So,
I've
really
noticed you said this
people.
Word. You said this word like, hey, don't care, who cares, today or several times when it comes about taking what players or whatever. So we're going to put that don't care and add it to what you said about far as players betting on their own teams. We didn't say, hey, just betting. Having the ability to bet, because they're not telling them they can't make bets. Betting on your own team is so horrible because this guy wasn't saying, hey, I bet on myself to win. He was betting on himself to do bad. So he controlled the narrative of like, hey, I'm going to fake an injury. I'm going to fake like I'm sick to get out the game. That's why he's banned. And yeah. so anytime you make it to where the public is thinking like, hey, there's an inside fix. I know everybody loved the joke about saying that he doesn't script for the NFL. Could you imagine the blowback of people thinking, hey, players have an interest on the team losing or not playing well to make money themselves?
Yeah,
it would destroy the NFL. It would destroy sports in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And the domino effect would be we probably wouldn't be talking because sports radio wouldn't be such a big thing. All these podcasts wouldn't be just a big thing.
Yeah, I think you're taking this a little far. So the player from the NBA that got caught, right?
Deonte Porter.
He got caught. He's out of the league. Banned. Yeah, banned. Let's say someone on the Sixers found out he was gambling on his unders or, was like trying to change the game around. They would get rid of him. I think the amount of players that would actually do this are so small that it's not worth what sports are walking into, which is Shohei Ohtani is dealing with something. NFL players are being suspended. A player in the NBA is banned for life. If you are caught doing it in a way that is not advantageous to the sport, that will be self-regulated by the league and the teams and the GMs and the head coaches. I just don't think it's worth having all these players suspended and missing time over something that's fairly innocuous and not a massive deal.
But see, here's the difference. These players have been talked to about this. So when you have a player that is dumb enough to bet on him doing bad, you have to send a message. It's just that
it's impacting the game. He has control of that. It's outrageous. Like, this is an asinine thing to talk about. Jontay Porter is the perfect example of why this can't be allowed.
No, he's also the perfect example of why it would be okay. He got caught and the league got rid of him.
What if he didn't get catched? That's the point. Like, what are you talking about? What if they didn't catch him? And then he's influencing games, man.
Right.
Like, that guy, by saying, I'm going my unders, like, is influencing games and outcomes.
And the
things
only
could be the one.
He got
what
caught?
If the Sixers are the 7 seed instead of the 6 seed? Because of a game Jontay Porter played it. You know, like, there's all
right.
the Magic won a game because Jontay Porter didn't try. Like, there's so many angles to this.
Right, but I think you guys are looking for a small situation. I don't believe that will happen enough.
Why not? Why wouldn't it happen? If you could make money, if you could control it.
These guys make
money.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's not about it happening enough. It's about it happening at all and the perception of it being a thing. Because already, we already feel like, hey, there's a hometown bias. There's a bias with the ref. There's bias. And now you have factional things. The only reason why I think, in my opinion, he got caught is because it was a huge number, like $80,000+ put on him going under. So it flagged. And it ended up would have been like a million-plus win. So imagine if he had been small about it. If he had been small about it and just continued this thing, it'd have been like it went under the radar. So that's my thing. We'll leave it alone. I know, Ellie, I know.
I'm
it's
with
like,
CJ.
It's like, hey,
I'm with you, man. We are
but
on the same.
My player that I want.
Quick, because we're up against it. Yeah,
is Adrian Cooper, and if not him, I do want to trade to get freaking Sertan.
Love it. Yeah,
my man.
I'm in on the Sertan thing, and I like Adrian Cooper as far as it goes. After kind of watching some of the YouTube stuff with him and all that, I mean, he flies around that guy.
He reminds me a lot of Devin White. Downhill player, gets after the quarterback. I think he's better in coverage than Devin White is. I don't know if I take him at 22, but if they do, I think he's someone that would come in and you would feel his presence right away.
I agree. I think he would make a difference. 215-592-9494. It's Get on the Record Day for Go Birds Radio. This is our last show before the first multiple rounds of the draft will have taken place. Get on the record now. Who do you want a player? Who do you want to trade? Who do you want a position? It's Go Birds Radio. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Go Birds Radio. Ellie Tripp Parks, James Seltzer with you.
I love when you go with the like the DJ voice there.
Hey.
Yeah, it's a little swag in it.
Go Birds Radio.
There you go.
Yeah. I
like a nighttime DJ.
I could spin some tunes, as they say.
So here's maybe the ultimate compliment I could give you. I think you would be phenomenal as a music DJ, but I would personally never listen. I know... I know you'd be killing it, but I would.
It would not be your.
It would not be my
speed,
genre of music, but I think the callers would love it.
I really appreciate that.
Unless you're going to play the same 10 90s rap song, early 2000s rap songs I like, I think we're not going to be on the same page.
I like that. I will take that as going. Yeah. Thank you. All right, 215-592-9494 if you want to talk Eagles draft or if you want to give me compliments. I am
always there for that.
Always there for that. We got a lot of great callers on the board. Let's get back to the calls again. 215-592-9494. It's Go Birds Radio. Get on the record day. This is our last show before the draft. And we can't have a get on the record day. Any kind of get on the record day.
And make a prediction.
Without our guy, Black Gritty. What up? Oh!
Baby mama flip-flops.
What up?
I'm out here in these streets. Your niece is at a tournament. You know what I mean? She hit a double. She hit a triple.
My
girl.
Cyclones, you know what I mean? In these pop-up out center field, you know what I mean? Calling the base. I mean, she running the show.
I love it. Not surprising coming from
the least surprising thing I've ever heard in my life.
Someone tells me she plays the game the right way. I'm sure you taught her how
to. Shout out to Leah.
Hey, look, she's better than me. I tell everybody.
Well, that's not surprising.
Hey, at least I'm honest about it. I mean, yeah. I'm not out here like Fritz, you know what I mean?
Ooh, I love that little drop in there. That was good.
Well, you know, Fritz hates on me because I'm in my Hall of Fame in my school. He's not. So, you know what I mean? I'm a Hall of Famer. I got a yellow jacket. He don't. But anyway, you know what? I can mark myself safe, guys. I haven't done one mock draft for the last 3 years. I made it this far again this year. Haven't played Pansy in 3 years. Sometimes I just like to wait because how he's going to do it, how he do. Every time you think he's doing something, he trades and he flip-flops and everything you dreamed of doesn't happen. So I'm taking that stress out of my life. But this week, now I'm starting to stress. All right, now I'm starting to
We made it.
I'm starting to feel it. You know what I mean? Like, people start talking about some Patrick Surtain. I'm like, ooh, I could give me some Patrick Surtain.
You're damn right, buddy.
I'd give up a first and a second for that. You know what I mean? But we just got to start building up the defense. And I want him to consolidate some of these picks and move up and get guys that they really want. Or I want the best available. It sounds so stupid. It sounds so simple. I don't want an offensive guard. I don't know why you had to call him an offensive guard because guard.
I know people really
yeah,
get
no,
worked
it's a
up
good
about
point.
That.
Yeah.
But I don't have to tell you the position's offensive guard.
You could just say guard.
I could just say guard, but that's not what the position's called. It's an offensive
guard. Where's the defensive guard? Where's the defensive guard?
There isn't one.
Well, there is a nose guard. Technically, you can have a nose guard.
Oh, there you go. Good point.
Yeah.
How about that?
Don't be helping him out.
I was going
to
say.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, there you go.
He didn't even know any better.
There you go.
Like, he's not a football guy. You don't even know about the nose guard. Just shut your mouth.
Yeah,
anyway.
Now I do. Yeah. Let Jack use that try with me again now. I'm good to go.
Oh, my God. You just killed the whole thing. I've been doing this bit for 2 months.
I know.
Anyway, like, it really.
Whoops. just in time.
Point, really, I want defense. So if you can give me Surtain, I would be the happiest person in the world. Because I knew that the position would be solidified. No matter what you say, our cornerbacks are old. You get CJ DJ, I know flip-flops doesn't like him. I like his attitude more than I like him as a player.
Well, that's
you know,
a problem.
That doesn't make that much sense. I like the way he makes me feel, and he's going to make the defense feel. I don't want dudes walking up on me, punking me on my team anymore. Mm. I want somebody who's going to run roughshod, talks my back. So it's Howie season. He better do what he do. It better make the right move, and I better be happy. Because guess what? Jordan Davis ain't panning out. All these Bulldogs ain't really panning out. So just going back to the Bulldog well isn't going to just fix everything. Mm. I love you guys so much.
My man.
And as always,
Yellards! Love you. You're the best. Yo, real quick on the Georgia things and then back to the phone. On the Georgia guys, you were super hyped about Nolan Smith.
I was.
You know, a year ago, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, after they drafted him, the whole thing.
Especially in training camp.
Where are you at now today? Because I will say the one thing that the Eagles have told us with their moves is that they believe in Nolan Smith this year, at least to a certain degree. They are saying that Nolan Smith is a part of our plan with the moves that they
for
have made.
For better or worse.
Right. But, like, you know, look, they're saying we're going to find out where you, someone who was high on him. And, look, there were, you know, he did get hurt at the end of camp, and then it never kind of came together for him. Where are you at on Nolan Smith today?
So he did have an outstanding camp in my eyes. Like, seeing him, the way he got after the quarterback, his body type, I'm not out on Nolan Smith. But he didn't play because the coaches didn't think he could play. If they thought he could play, he had enough pool as a first-round pick to get out on the field. Now
the coaching on the defensive side of the ball
was bad.
Was bad last year as a counter to say that. You know,
sure.
Like, do we trust
especially
those
the
coaches?
Second half.
Yeah.
I do think there's an interesting discussion about if Desai maybe looks better now than he did, but
sure.
That's
I
for
think he
another
does at
day.
Least a little bit, but yeah.
But regardless, for me, Nolan Smith is somebody that going into next year, I don't know what he's going to be. I'm not out on him, but I'm certainly not as high on him as I was a year ago, considering he couldn't get on the field last year.
Let's go to Corey in Columbus. What up, Core?
Hey, man. James, the ESP, they gave my message, man.
What
I don't
message?
Think I did. I apologize. I remember now. That's right.
Oh,
yes.
He
DM'd me.
My kid's been active, so I haven't been able to call on the weekends, you know, with the sports, but I'm back.
We missed you, man.
Yeah.
I'm a Go Birds lawyer. I don't
my
want
man.
Thing, you know,
see, the thing is, Corey, you're such a part of the show that it just feels like you're always here and listening, even if you don't call. But it is good to have you back.
Glad to be back. Hey, so my draft take. So listen, I gotta try to convince y'all on Cooper DeJean real quick. Let me just
please
try
do.
To convince
yeah,
y'all.
Please, because neither of us are
this
super
is, this
in.
Is my thing with Cooper DeJean. So if you watch the way he plays, like, he's a multifaceted player. He can play on the outside, you can play inside, you can play safety. I know that Elliott doesn't like guys as good at a lot of things, but this is the thing about him.
Which is such a funny way to put it.
Well, yeah, it's a funny way to put it. I mean, I would rather have somebody that is great at something than good at a lot of things. Yeah.
So when he – this is what I like about him, and I like Kool-Aid, and I like Therrien. I honestly will say I think people like Kool-Aid more because of his name than his actual game.
Yep. Yeah.
But this is my thing about Kool-Aid. So Iowa plays – they were one of the best defenses in college football last year. Now, when they play, you know, Ohio State, they produce receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Nick Saban – I'm comparing the two. Nick Saban at Alabama – he's always had elite corners. He's had Trevon Diggs, the Marlon Humphreys. You know the names, the pass returner, the guy we won. This last year, with Kool-Aid, with Therrien, they played a lot of zone. They never did that in the past with those other guys.
That's
right?
A good point.
That's a concern. That's a good point.
That's a really
good point there, Corey.
Cooper DeJean, when he went up against Marvin Harrison Jr., he never ran from him. He followed him all game. 2 years ago, when we had Jackson Smith and Jigba, He even followed him into the slot because Jackson Smith and Jigba was a slot receiver, and he shut him down. He only had two catches the entire game. Now Ohio State has a lot of weapons, you know, so they go off of other players. But I'm just
Corey, really quick, because I do want to ask you this because it's a great question for you. I saw a cut up of Cooper versus Marvin Harrison this year when they played each other, just the snaps. I came away feeling like Marvin got open quite a bit, and the throws were poor. As the resident Ohio State expert on the station, what was your thought on how he covered Marvin?
Well, Marvin Harrison Jr. is an elite receiver, so it's like he's going to get his catches.
Okay.
Like he's an elite route. He's the best receiver to come out of Ohio State, and I'm saying that Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jackson Smith.
Yeah,
Michael,
I think he's better.
Michael
I got tons of dudes.
He's the best one to come out of all those dudes. So it's like he's going to get his. But I like Cooper DeJean because I'm not a big fan of Avante Maddox. And as James Bradbury still on the team, obviously we don't know the Isaiah Rodgers situation. A guy like Cooper DeJean, and you don't want people's going to say you don't want to draft a nickel corner in the first round.
Yeah,
you can put him in the nickel, and then later on he can transition to outside. I'm just not a Maddox fan. I think that we need to address that position in this draft. If we go into this season again with just Avante Maddox as our guy and not putting a guy that's possibly that can compete with him, I feel like that's going to be a big issue because then that's when you sign the guys like the Bradley Robies, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Corey.
Also, real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thing.
Go ahead, quick.
A guy that's not talked about enough. I love Edgerrin Cooper, but linebacker-wise, and it hurts me to say this because of the team, Junior Colston, that guy could play. He could cover. Mm-hmm. He's probably the best coverage linebacker out of all the linebackers, and he's only like 20 years old, so a lot of upside there, and he's a national champion.
I like that. All right, Corey, great call, man. Keep him coming, man. Terrific call.
What I love about the draft is I've read scouting reports. I've watched Junior. No one thinks he can cover, at least from what I've seen. And he's the best coverage.
Yeah.
And I trust Corey's opinion.
Corey's watching these games.
Exactly,
I appreciate it. Like, he's definitely watched Cooper DeJean games. And I've watched highlights. I've not watched full games.
Right, but with this
games,
the Junior Colston linebacker, he's a Michigan guy, which is why Corey doesn't like him. I had saw these more of a traditional down the field, like almost Jeremiah Trotter type of linebacker. Maybe I'm wrong because I trust Corey's opinion. I didn't know he could cover like that.
215-592-9494. Get on the record. We are 5 days away from the first round of the NFL draft. What do you want the Eagles to do? Do you want them to trade for a player? Do you want them to trade up, trade down? What position do you want? Or a player. If you got a name, give us a name. We got a lot of good names coming at us today. 215-592-9494. 1 hour down, 1 to go. It's Go Birds Radio. Don't go anywhere.